Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And again, no co-host. Lots of reasons for that this time. Chris is back from the Grand Canyon, but couldn't get into the office today. Lots of reasons for that. And Mike was off tonight, so I'm here by myself again. And, you know, we're on an open show. That means that the only people I have to talk to is you. If you're willing to be my guest tonight and ask a question that you feel would be extremely beneficial to you, that you say, Drew, if you could answer this question, this would really help me a lot. And it could be on Social Security. You know, everybody always likes to ask questions on Social Security. And, you know, I've noticed that there's not a lot that, you know, when we bring Social Security experts on, there's not a lot that they can answer that we can't. And so if that's your question, you know, we're here to answer it for you. If you want to talk about estate planning, you know, we can help you with that. If you want to talk about elder law, you have a situation where you might need Medicaid help. You want to talk about IRAs, Roths, retirement plans, your 401k. You know, we can help you with that. You want to talk about investments, so you can call in with that. Anything. If it deals with your personal finances, a professional financial advisor should be able to go over the comprehensive spectrum of all personal finances and help you with any question you want to ask. And though the number to call in is 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Calling in early gets you the most attention, so now's the time to call in, and we're going to Mark in Cadenceville. Mark, how can we help you?
Okay, with a Roth IRA, and you've contributed your max with the IRA, and your income's under 160, what is the max? Can you contribute to the Roth even though you've maxed out on your IRA?
So the number, the key number is 196, okay? So 160 was many years ago. So the new number for 2020 is 196,000. The answer to your question, Mark, is you can do either or any combination of traditional IRA, which is the deductible one, and Roth IRA, which is the post-tax but tax-free at the end, or any combination of the two up to $6,000 if you're under 50, $7,000 if you're over 50. And if you've already done the full $7,000, and I'm making the assumption you're over 50 years of age. Okay, so if you've already done the $7,000 in traditional IRA and you leave it there, you can do nothing more in Roth IRA, but you always have the opportunity up to April 15th, or if you put your return on extension to October 15th, to switch your traditional IRA contribution to a Roth, or switch a portion of your traditional IRA over to Roth, as long as you do it before you file your tax return. Am I making myself clear? So let's say,
basically, you can't do both, correct?
You cannot do both. But let's say you really think about it and you say, gee, I should have done Roth. You have until the day you file your tax return to get the custodian to switch and recharacterize a portion of your contribution for your traditional IRA over to Roth. And the only time you can do this recharacterization anymore is on a contribution that was done and recharacterized before you file your tax return. All right, buddy?
Oh, that was great. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. Good question, though. We're going to Rebecca in Pennsylvania. Rebecca, what can I do for you?
Well, I had all my ducks in a row. I'm on Obamacare, and Pennsylvania has decided that they're going to start their own health care exchange, and so I'm being kicked off of Obamacare. I don't have any computer skills whatsoever. I'm going to be 62 in December, so I'm not eligible for Medicare, okay? And I want to know, because we were talking one time about you might have dealt with clients that were trying to, like, you know, decide which plan to go on Medicare, so that's not going to help me. But do you provide a service of people like me that are so computer stupid that, like, you know, we can come into your office for a fee?
You always have the opportunity to go to SHIP, the Senior Health Insurance Program. In all states, there is a SHIP program. And so they are people that are designed to help people like yourself with medical issues. As long as you're a senior, and you are over 60 years of age, and they will be able to help you get onto that without you being computer savvy.
Let me ask you something. Do I get that through the senior centers? How do I do that?
You don't do anything on computers, so I can't ask you to do a Google search for SHIP. Well, yeah, we'll talk to the senior center, and they'll help you get that, okay?
Well, let me ask you something. Have you, like, heard from this? I heard from anybody. I mean, do you do stuff? Are you licensed in Pennsylvania, just in case I need to, like?
Well, we're not licensed anything, but we help our client with any issue that they have. And if the exchange was an important issue for them, we would be able to help them with it.
I'm so frustrated. You know how long it took me to get this straightened out and get on the...
I understand. It's very difficult, very complicated. So feel free that if you want to come in and be a comprehensive client, we'd be more than willing to do the whole comprehensive look with you and so forth. But ultimately, we won't just focus on that one issue. It'll be a piece of the pie. We're comprehensive advisors. Okay. We don't just do one thing. But if you want that one thing done, SHIP is the people I would talk to.
Can you spell that S-H-I-P? That's the way you spell it?
Yeah, like a ship sailing in the night, you know?
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Go ahead to the senior center and ask them, you know, what they can do to get you in touch with the SHIP people, okay?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right.
People.
And actually, at Senior Center, if they're AARP, they should be able to help you with that, the exchange. So, and anyway, I got to take that traffic pause. But if you want to call and get online, lines are totally open now. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Take it away. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated? Are just a few of the many parts of the physical. The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And this is Money, Riches, and Wealth. I'm here all by myself tonight and on an open show. So if you, like Mark and Rebecca, have questions, we would really appreciate you calling in 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, ask your question, direct the conversation, be the guest tonight. Those that call in now, we don't have anybody online. It always makes it give you more time. So anyway, while I'm waiting for people to call in, I just wanted to go over a couple things. I talked to Sean this morning about an article I've written. It was called Every Voter Should Read Before the Election. It's on our website. It's an older article, so you'd have to scroll down and look and find that article, but it's there. And it's about how politicians have lied about taxation and only taxing the rich since the very beginning, foundation of our country and the income tax laws. When the income tax laws were originally established in the country, which is the federal income tax laws, that is, which is 1913. Now, keep in mind, we were a country for 140, 50 years before the income taxes were eligible to be passed. And before they were passed, the only way they could tax is two ways. They did a foreign tariffs. Come in, you know, goods brought into the country, they would do a tariff on, and that was their main revenue source. The other one was, if they needed more money, they would say to all the states, hey, we're going to spend $1 million. And in order to spend $1 million more than what we're getting in revenue, we're going to partition it, or apportion it, I should say, to all the states. And, you know, California, you have 500,000 people. In Maryland, you have 50,000 people. And, you know, Louisiana, you have 25,000 people. So here's your share. This is what you got to figure out how to get into the federal government. Go to your local legislatures, tax the people accordingly, knowing that in your budget, you have to send us your share of this amount of money we want to spend. And that's how they did it. And there was logic to that strategy. And there was incredible logic, because number one, what it would do is it would force the federal spending down to the local level. And so when a local legislator said, you know, hey, I got to come up with another $1 million into our budget to send to the federal government, they had to then tell the people in their state, hey, you know, I need a little more money because we've decided the federal government can spend more money. And so the only way I'm going to get that is by taxing you. And you see, what happened is, you know, federal legislatures go off to the federal government and they don't have any real connection with the local people in telling them what they're going to tax them. Whereas the local legislator absolutely has that, because you got to think about it. The federal legislator, you know, the local guy, you know, when the House of Representative guy comes into town and, you know, he passes out favors to people. He says, hey, you know, I got some money to spend, and I got some grants to give out, and I've got some this, and I've got some that, and I can get you a job, and I can get that resolved, and so forth. And so he hands out the candy jar. You know, whereas in the old days, when the federal government guy came down to the local legislator and said, hey, you got to get another $1 million for me, figure out how to raise it. And now the local guy was going to, you know, the people really directly saying, hey, I've got to raise your taxes because I need to get another $1 million to the federal government. It was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant on our founding fathers' part. But what happened is they convinced the people that, no, we can't, we got to tax the rich people because they're making so much money, the Rockefellers, the Gettys, and so forth, that if we tax them, we're not going to have to do that with you anymore. We're not going to have to come and ask you for more money and so forth. And they bought into it. And 75% of states rectified the 35th what amendment was it? The 25th amendment, I think. No, it wasn't the 20th. That's Nancy Pelosi's favorite amendment. I think it's the 18th amendment for an income tax. And they would have never been able to do it if they didn't lie about, we're only going to tax the rich people. You know what happened? 5 years after World War I was over, the federal legislators came back to the American people and said, sorry, I know I said we were only going to tax the rich people on this income tax thing, but, you know, World War I cost us a lot of money. And we're so much in debt, you know, due to World War I, we're going to have to income tax you also, the lower income guy. So it started out in today's dollars, 400,000 of income and up are the only people paying 1% income tax rate. And then by the end, it was 10% of $40,000 in today's in today's currency level. It's just amazing how they still do this today. in today's world. This article outlines all of them. The estate tax was only designed to hit 50 families, the Gettys, the Rockefellers, the Morgans, you know, the estate tax was only. But now, I mean, a guy that makes $5 million in the state of Maryland, or is worth $5 million in the state of Maryland, is considered rich and deserves to pay the estate tax. You know, whereas if you take the Gettys and the Rockefellers and them from back in 1913 or 1930 when they really started to push the estate tax, I mean, that was a person in those days, that was a person who was worth a good bit of money in today's dollars. And, you know, I mean, the Gettys and Rockefellers, that would have been equivalent to billion-dollar people today only. Billion-dollar people today only. Now it's $5 million. And you might say, well, those people have $5 million. That's a lot of money. But it's a lot of people as compared to just 50, who they said in 1969 they passed a thing called the alternative minimum tax. It was designed to only hit 60 families who were using the real estate tax laws like Trump did, you know, and the oil and gas, tax laws, where they can take, depletion deduction or depreciation deductions and basically wipe out their income taxes. And they said, this isn't fair. All these other Americans are paying taxes. These guys are using these laws to eliminate. So they say, we'll put this alternative minimum tax in, and this will force them to pay us income taxes. You know what? About 3 years ago, it was 16 million Americans paid that same alternative minimum tax. So they learned to weaponize it against many Americans, not just 50 or 60 who were using the laws unjustly or really pushing the letter of the law. These are people who unsuspectingly fell into the alternative minimum tax because the politicians, once you give them a tool to use against the rich, they will use it to weaponize the lower income people in America. It has happened since the beginning of tax laws. And whenever you hear a politician say, I'm only going to tax the rich, you should be extremely careful. Extremely careful, because it will come to bite you soon. Anyway, I've got to take a pause with traffic. We're on an open show tonight. I need some callers. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show today. I've got lines open, even though Carolyn's on the line. I'm going to be with her in 1 second. But we have open lines, and I'm here all by myself. I could do monologues and talk to you about some other interesting things, but I'd really like to answer your questions. And if you'd like, call in 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. We got off to a fast start. I thought we were going to really be ramping calls up this, but then they slowed down. And so if you want to call in, I'd really like to answer your questions. But right now, I'm going to go to Carolyn in Lithicum. Carolyn, how can I help you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was interested in knowing the best way of leaving money or giving money to my young grandchildren.
Okay.
I have a 14, a 10-year-old, an 11-year-old, and I would just like to have it grow. I'd like them to have it, but if I take it out of my IRA and put it in an account for them to grow, then I'm going to have to pay taxes on what I take out.
That's a big problem, and you're going to have to be very careful about that. In general, what's your income range? $50,000, $100,000?
I'll say $50,000 right now.
$50,000. Yeah. Are you single?
Yes.
Okay. So you do have to be especially careful in that income range, because you take money out of your IRA, not only are you going to pay taxes on it, but then it's going to cause more of your Social Security to likely be taxable based on the numbers you're telling me. Okay. Because, and that's a whole story all in itself. Okay. So, So do you have other monies other than IRA monies? Do you have after-tax money somewhere?
Nothing much to write home about, yeah.
Okay.
I get the $40,000 in two pensions.
Right.
And I get the...
But no other liquid assets?
No. Okay. I don't think so. No.
So the thing that I would be doing if I were you is I would be looking at your IRAs and I would look at changing the beneficiary designation to, I'm assuming your children are the predominant beneficiaries right now.
They are.
So I would change that to, you know, let's say 75% to my children or 80% to my children and the rest of it to my grandchildren. So that way you split up the, you know, and that way you know your grandchildren are going to get some of the money that's ultimately going to be inherited because, you know, that'll be a great way to do it without taking it out now and forcing yourself to pay a lot more in taxes on it. I saw a lady who made a small amount of money and she took out $10,000 from her IRA to give to her two grandchildren. And do you realize this lady never paid a nickel in taxes, but just taking that $10,000 out cost her $2,300 tax liability. And you say, wait a minute, that's impossible. How could $10,000 cost somebody who, with that low an income, $2,300 in taxes? Well, first off, Marilyn clobbered her for 8.5% of it. That's 850 right there. And then all of a sudden that 10,000 caused her Social Security to become taxable. That wasn't 10,000. It was 16,000 that she had to pay taxes on. And that caused another $1,500 or so in income taxes to her. And you put that all together, it was $2,300 for somebody who paid zero. And so you got to be real careful in that income range not to take money out unless you know what the consequences are going to be. And for you, my suggestion would be just make them a beneficiary. Your children get 80%, 75%, 90%. Your grandchildren get the rest of it. And that's the way I would do it.
And upon death, would they and they inherit this money? Would my grandchildren have to pay taxes on it?
They would when they withdraw it, but they would have the ability to withdraw it in a very strategic way that they would probably be able to minimize the taxes on it. They'd have 10 years to – well, let me put it this way. Basically, they would have 10 years to do that. And the way I would make them the beneficiary is very strategic. I would make it, let's say, my daughter – as custodian for her child under the Uniform Transfer to Minors Act, state of Maryland, to age 21. So that means that the children wouldn't actually be able to control the money until they're 21 years of age at the very earliest.
And what was the name of that again? Uniform what?
Transfer to Minors Account. UTMA. UTMA is the – so it's my daughter – as custodian for my grandchild under Maryland UTMA, Uniform Transfer to Minors Account, age 21. And it's very important that you put that language down there so that if, God forbid, they did inherit when they were still minors, because you sound like still you're relatively young, so the only way they're going to inherit this money is if you pass away. We'd hope that would be many years from now. But if they did inherit while they were still minors, we would want to make sure there's a way without going to the courts to get it released to them.
Well, I appreciate that. I am almost 77.
That's still very young in today's world, my friend.
Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. You've got a life expectancy. Unless you have serious illnesses and complications, you have a life expectancy to 88 or 90 right now.
I love it.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's the first I heard that.
No, it's absolutely true. The new life expectancy tables are coming out next year, 2021, from the IRS, and that's pushing up life expectancy to at least 87, and they're usually on the conservative side of life expectancy. So, all right?
Well, I appreciate that. I was just wondering if I should cash it in, make it a, you know, the other
a Roth IRA. I would be very careful to do that. Whoever does your taxes for you, I would do some analysis. Now, if your income is substantially lower than what we talked about, you may be able to do that. But I would never do it in your income bracket unless you sat down with somebody who knows how to do taxes and say, okay, if I did $5,000, what's going to happen if I did $10,000 into a Roth? But you're absolutely right. A Roth IRA is one of the most is one of the greatest gifts you can give to a child or grandchild is a Roth IRA.
But not probably in this, my income bracket.
If you're going to take that money out and you're in the wrong income bracket, that's somewhere between $25,000, $30,000 and $50,000, $60,000, you're going to probably clobber yourself. Make sure you do an analysis before you do anything, okay?
I'm not going to do that, but it's in, and I thank you for that information. And I was also interested in the SHIP program. I never heard of that, and I wonder how many older people know about that.
Well, we try to talk about it whenever we can, and we do a lot of seminars where the SHIP people are available. I've had her on the main SHIP person for Maryland. I've had her on the radio with me at least once or twice. So we try to make them as popular as possible, but you're right. There aren't a lot of seniors who hear about it. So
there aren't.
Well, all right.
You have more phone calls. I'll let you go.
All right.
Thank you.
You take care, Carolyn. We've got to take another pause, but we're on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Tom, I hope you'll hold until I come back from the break. You're first up, and right now we're going to traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Bachman Turner Overdrive. You didn't think I knew this. See, I've been fooling with you all this time, Chris. Anyway, I'm going to Tom in Towson. Tom.
Hi, Drew.
How you doing, buddy?
Love your show.
Thank you.
Two questions. First question is, a lot of the mutual fund companies are providing robo-advisors that select ETFs and develop a portfolio for you, and then they automatically rebalance the portfolio periodically. What are the pros and cons of this robo advisor?
Well, the robo advisors do a fine job. Matter of fact, I wonder why anybody works with a broker anymore, because brokers don't offer any, don't really do anything for you. We manage money for clients, but we also provide all the comprehensive advice. And so we're putting a whole package together, taxes and estate planning and so forth. Robo-advisor, all they're going to do is invest your money. But that's all a broker does. Brokers aren't allowed to do much else than just invest your money. And they'll say, we're bringing all our knowledge, wisdom, and talent to this. And the answer is, you analyze the numbers, you're probably finding that ain't true. And, so the robo-advisors do a fine job. If all you're looking for is an asset allocation and somebody to just, try to you know, give you an asset allocation that meets your risk tolerance, your volatility, how much you're willing to accept volatility and so forth. I mean, the robo-advisors do a fine job at a very reasonable cost to boot. So, you know, I have no problem with – we actually use robo-advisors ourselves for some clients. Small clients will say, you know, here's a robo-advisor with Schwab or Vanguard or somebody that I think you ought to use. And they'll do a fine job for you. So, you know, I think it's a great thing that's come into the – you know, and again, I'm saying – I'm wondering why anybody invests with brokers anymore, because they don't do anything. They can't do tax planning. They can't do estate planning. They can't do comprehensive planning, really. All they can do is they might do some computer simulation stuff, and they make investments. And they're trying to argue that their investment prowess is going to give you a better rate of return. I don't think the numbers prove it, but that's what they're going to tell you. All right?
Thank you. Question number two, if I can.
Yeah.
I have about $500,000 liquid, and it's not in an IRA. It's not qualified. It's just in a regular.
Yeah, it's a regular investment account, right?
And I need to generate income. Would I be better off using mutual funds or ETFs or individual dividend stocks?
Well, now that's an interesting question. So it depends on how those individual dividend paying stocks are being purchased. One of the benefits of most ETFs is that they don't generate a lot of extra taxable income unless you sell. And so that's one of the beauties of the ETF concept, is that you're not getting these capital gain distributions coming out of these mutual funds and making you pay taxes on something that you don't want to have. See, you know, and a lot of people think, Tom, that you need dividends or interest to get income. In today's world, you need total return. Total return means not only the dividends and interest you might be getting, but also that the portfolio rises in value on a regular basis. And now it doesn't always happen, but over time, the portfolio is going up 5%, 10% on average or something like that. And that's what you'll find in a good total return portfolio. There should be a good mix between the interest, the dividends, the capital gains, and taking into consideration your risk tolerance. So we use ETFs a lot because they're very tax efficient, but we also use individual stock portfolios because they can be even more tax efficient depending on your situation and what you're actually looking for. So it you know, there's not an easy answer to that question that you just posed. All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right, buddy, good question. Mark in Bel Air, how can we help you?
Yeah, I just have a question. I have an elderly mother who is in failing
I do too.
Health. Yeah.
Well, she's not in failing. Mine's not in failing health, though, so.
Yeah. Okay. And anyhow, she has her property, her house is willed to me and my sister.
Okay.
And I was just wondering as far as would it be better for her to put the property?
No.
And my name and my sister's name?
No, that would be the absolute worst thing you could ever, ever do, is have her put that house in your names. Okay, there's lots of reasons for that. It could go into a whole litany of them, especially if she ever needed long-term care and she doesn't have a lot of cash. How much is her total net worth? Is it just a house, or does she have a lot of other assets?
No, she does not have a lot of other assets.
So it's just the house, right?
Basically, yes.
So what I would do is I would have the house placed into what's called a life estate deed, but I'd work with an elder care attorney. Is there any chance your mother might need custodial care, or is that not really an issue?
It's not an issue right now, but it could be possibly down the road.
So I would talk with an elder law attorney. Somebody like Raj Gul, who actually lives and works up in Bel Air a lot of the time. He also is down in Baltimore and Maple Lawn. He's an elder law attorney. and, you know, get the house retitled into what's called a life estate deed, which means mom still owns the house. So if she dies, you still get the step up in cost basis that you and your sister wouldn't have to pay taxes on the sale of the house when you inherit it. But he could also possibly position that deed into a place where it's not eligible for attachment by Medicaid if the ownership of the house exceeds 5 years before they apply for Medicaid. So there's a lot of things you could do, but the last thing you'd want to do is put it in joint name. Another great name for you is Kevin Bress with Pessin and Katz. He's
how do you spell that last name?
Bress, B-R-E-S-S. He lives in the Bel Air, you know, area, and he's right here in Towson. So Kevin Bress, B-R-E-S-S, that's another great one. He could help you take care of that. All right, so those are the things I would think about, but you don't want to put it. That's one of the biggest mistakes that seniors do is they get older and they think that the best thing they can do is put their house in joint name. You could put a checking account in joint name with your children, a checking account. Because there's laws in the government and so forth that says, okay, that's a fine, you can do this. But when you put a house, a brokerage account, a stock, something that's appreciating in value, you destroy one of the greatest economic benefits you get, which is called the step up in basis. And you could also seriously compromise a Medicaid application in the future. So those are the reasons that I don't like that. All right?
Okay, yes, I appreciate that.
All right, life estate deed. That's what you want to talk to Kevin about, all right?
And I can find him, his company on the internet?
Pessin and Katz. Yeah, you can also listen to WCBM and sooner or later hear one of their commercials, I'm sure.
Okay.
So, all right?
All right, very good. I appreciate it.
Actually, I think I know his number right off the top of my head. It's 410-339-6767. I'm almost positive that's his phone number.
I'll try that tomorrow.
All right, buddy. You take care.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Bye. Anyway, we're almost out of time. I had a second thing I wanted to talk about. If I could see if I could do it quickly. One of the biggest lies I hear in the media never gave Trump any credit for the up stock market, but now they're giving Biden credit for the up stock market. That's ridiculous. I never gave Trump credit for the up stock market, and I would never give Biden credit for the up stock market. This is insane that media has proven that they are beyond a shadow of a doubt, biased beyond any belief, that they didn't give Trump any credit and then turn around and give Biden. I wouldn't give either of them any credit, but the last one I'd give it to is Biden. And he hasn't even been elected, you know, and they say, well, it's because of what he's going to do. This is insane. And it shows that media is ridiculous bias. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.